If you fly out of any major U.S. hub, you've watched the international ramp change shape over the last decade. New tails, new liveries, names you didn't grow up hearing on the frequency. And here's the thing about those new entrants. By the time you see them at the gate, the real work happened years earlier in paperwork most pilots never read. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar, where we take the headlines and tell you what they actually mean from the left seat. Today, we've got a brand new airline clearing, one of the biggest hurdles in front of it. And I want to walk you through what that clearance really is, because the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Let's get into it. Today's news on ATIS is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, here's what you need to know. According to AeroTime, the Saudi startup carrier Riyadh Air has secured approval from the United States Department of Transportation, the DOT, to operate flights into the United States. Riyadh Air is one of the new flag-style carriers coming out of Saudi Arabia, a brand new airline that has not yet flown its first revenue passenger, but is building toward a launch with a fleet anchored on the Boeing 787 Dreamliner and orders that stretch into Airbus A321neo territory and beyond. So a carrier that hasn't carried a single ticketed passenger just got a green light from the US government to fly here. Let me explain how that's possible and why it's not as strange as it sounds. When a foreign airline wants to serve the United States, it doesn't just file a flight plan and show up. There are two very different gates it has to pass through, and pilots tend to blur these two together. So I want to keep them separate in your mind. The first gate is economic authority. That's the Department of Transportation. The DOT decides whether a foreign carrier is allowed, as a matter of policy and trade agreements, to sell seats and operate scheduled service between two countries. This is the layer that lives on top of bilateral air service agreements between governments. It's about commerce, competition, and treaty rights. It is not fundamentally about whether the airplane is safe to fly. The second gate is safety and operational authority. That's the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA. The FAA issues what's called operations specifications and the foreign air carrier permit on the safety side, verifying that the airline's home country oversight meets international standards and that the carrier itself meets the operational requirements to fly in U.S. airspace and land at U.S. airports. What Riyadh Air just received is that first gate, the economic one. The DOT authority. The headline says approval for U.S. flights, and that's true, but it's the commercial and regulatory permission to serve the market. It is one major milestone in a longer chain. This affects you if you're trying to understand how the international system actually works, because this is the same architecture every carrier flying into your airport had to navigate. American carriers flying overseas go through the mirror image of this in foreign capitals. Now, why does a brand new airline get this approval before it's even flying? Because you build the regulatory runway before you taxi onto it. No carrier launches international long-haul service and then applies for permission. You line up your authorities first. You take delivery of your aircraft. You train your crews. You run your proving flights. And then you sell the seats. Riyadh Air is doing this in the correct order. The DOT nod is them clearing the airspace ahead of the launch, not catching up after it. Let's talk about who's behind this, because it matters for understanding the scale. Riyadh Air is backed by the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund, the public investment fund. This is a state-backed startup with very deep pockets and a national mandate. The goal isn't simply to run an airline. It's to turn Riyadh into a connecting hub, a place where traffic between Europe, Asia, Africa, and the Americas changes planes. That's the same playbook we've watched succeed with the big Gulf carriers over the last 20 years. Build a hub at the crossroads, fly wide-body airplanes in every direction, and capture the connecting passenger who used to change planes somewhere else. The headline doesn't tell the whole story here, and this is the part I find genuinely interesting. When you add another Gulf hub to the global map, you're not just adding flights, you're reshaping where the long-haul connecting traffic flows. For the U.S. traveler, and for U.S. carriers, more competition on those ultra-long-haul routes between North America and the wider Eastern Hemisphere tends to mean more options and pricing pressure. For the pilot watching the industry, it's another data point in a long trend. The center of gravity for connecting international traffic keeps shifting toward the Arabian Peninsula. Let me bring this back down to the ramp, because I promised you the view from the cockpit. If you fly for a living, or you're working toward that, here's the practical read. A new wide-body operator standing up from zero means hiring. It means training pipelines. It means demand for type-rated crews on the Boeing 787 and Airbus narrowbodies. And it means competition for experienced pilots in a global market that's already tight. When a state-backed carrier with a sovereign fund behind it starts building, it pulls on the same labor pool that everyone else is drawing from. That ripples? It rippled when the first Gulf carriers expanded, and it'll ripple again. If you fly general aviation and you're wondering why any of this matters to you, here's the connection. The international carriers are the part of the industry that funds an enormous amount of the system you operate in. The airspace modernization, the infrastructure, the manufacturing base that builds your avionics in a trickle-down from the big iron. When Boeing books another Dreamliner order, that production line health eventually touches the broader aviation economy you're part of, you're all in the same sky. Now let me flag something as opinion, because I told you I'd separate fact from my own read. My take is that we are watching the Gulf Hub model enter what you might call its second generation. The first wave proved the concept. Build the hub, fly the wide bodies, win the connecting passenger. Riyadh Air is launching into a market that already knows that model works, with the capital to do it at scale from day one. That's a different starting position than the pioneers had. Whether the connecting traffic is there to support yet another major hub in the same region. That's the open question, and reasonable people in this industry disagree. But the capital and the political will behind it are not in doubt. That's my read. Take it for what it's worth. Here's one more practical note, and then I'll let you go. For those of you flying internationally or training toward it, watch how this carrier handles its proving runs and its entry into service. A brand new airline standing up a long-haul operation is one of the harder things to do in commercial aviation. Crew training from scratch, maintenance programs, with no institutional memory yet. Building a safety culture in real time rather than inheriting one. The carriers that do this well are deliberate and slow about it. The ones that rush it tend to show you why you don't rush it. So, when Riyadh Air announces a launch date, the date itself isn't the story. How carefully they got there is. That's the headline. A new Saudi carrier, Riyadh Air, has cleared the economic authority gate with the U.S. Department of Transportation. It's a real milestone. It's one of several it still needs. And it's another sign of where the global connecting map is heading. My thanks to AeroTime for the reporting on this one. You can always find more of what we cover over at RadioHanger.com. I'm Tower, keep the big picture in your scan, and I'll have the latest for you next time on ATIS.